is episode 141 of UFO Encounters. This episode I'm reading from Steve Aspin and Andreas Luck's book, Investigating the Impossible. Biology offers new answers and insights. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. During this excursion into human biology, the intention has been to demonstrate the complexity of the matter, and yet the full reality is far more complex than even the combined factors presented and summarized in this chapter might indicate. These examples, however, do illustrate the importance of the normal structure and function of organs and organ systems and of the complex biological molecular processes in humans. An extraterrestrial species seeking to create hybrid creatures between humans and their own non-human species would face considerable problems, at least according to our current understanding. Because not only do all the factors presented in Part 2 need to be taken into account in their planning, but the creators must ensure no incompatibility or interference between human and alien components at the level of cells, tissues, organs, and organ systems. Malformations or malfunctions of organs and organ systems must at all costs be avoided. Some possible consequences of such errors or oversights have been discussed here, but this list is by no means complete. It is impossible to foresee or predict in detail what further results may arise from conflicts between the biological components of the human and non-human species, since biology, genetics, cell biology, neurobiology and biochemistry, but also the physiology of the non-human species remains, to us, unknown. True hybrid creatures should bear bodily characteristics of both species involved, about half originating from one species, the other half originating from the other. The question arises as to why the hybrids, and especially the hybrids, designed specifically to live here and integrate, as described by witnesses, do not appear to have any physical characteristics of the alien species, and why one vitally important ability of the aliens seems to be absent or diluted, that of mental screening or mind probing. Reports from those interacting with these beings suggest they are still able to do this, but with substantially reduced effectiveness compared to that demonstrated by the grey aliens. A possible answer to this dilemma is that these beings, as reported by witnesses, are not in fact true hybrid creatures at all, but are in fact human. We have seen how complex the human body is in structure and function. It is precisely this complexity of biology which cannot be simply overridden by a magic wand. That could make it impossible for the aliens to create true hybrid creatures despite their evident, highly advanced knowledge of biotechnology and genetics. It is more likely that the hybrids and hybrids described so consistently by abductees are not in fact hybrids at all, but transgenic creatures, humans created by in vitro fertilization, in which one or a small number of non-human or synthetic genes have been, at an early stage of the development, added to the genome of that specific individual, which specific genes, either synthetic or directly derived from the non-human alien species, may be introduced into the genome of the human embryo at an early stage to produce so-called hybrid entities remain unknown. As we currently know nothing about the biology of the non-human species, let alone their eventual intentions. However, one might speculate that the reportedly reduced abilities of the hybrids to successfully initiate mind screening may be because they do not carry sufficient required genes, as they are transgenic individuals, or perhaps some other biological process or processes in humans may interfere with that ability. This inability to genetically modify humans permanently as true hybrids and hybrids, respectively, might also extend to regular human abductees. The goal of the abductors might not be to create hybrid entities, but rather to modify existing genes and use the changes as genetic markers that may be traced by laboratory analysis. 1. Why over past decades, sperm and ova from human abductees are consistently reported to be harvested repeatedly during abduction events? And 2. The multi-generational approach. Why is it necessary to check whether the genetic changes have reached the germline and whether the modified genes are then passed on to the offspring? It is possible that the genetic changes may not be stable over time, so are lost after 1 to 3 generations. That would explain why the aliens abduction project, which appears to have been conducted for 4 to 5 consecutive generations through affected families, is not finished now and quite possibly may never be finished. It is unclear which genes might be affected, but a few candidate genes may be conceived that could be predestined for this process, depending on the abductor's ultimate goals. Conceivable candidate genes might be, for example, those involved in the production of the steroid hormone testosterone. Why would testosterone be a possible target for gene modification? The answers might be 1. During abduction events, abductees are frequently shown video or holographic type images of large-scale environmental pollution, destruction, and/or thermonuclear war, with warnings that these possible futures, especially nuclear war, should at all costs be prevented. And 2, testosterone is largely responsible for aggressive and violent behaviour in humans. If one of the goals of the abduction program might be to reduce or eliminate aggressive, violent behaviour in humans, serious and sustained attempts might be made to reduce the level of testosterone in the human population. A complete elimination of testosterone from the human body is not possible, as it is needed for several essential biological functions. For example, the formation of primary and secondary sex characteristics, primarily in males. However, even in females, testosterone is essential for some biological functions. A secondary, and for the aliens beneficial, purpose of the repeatedly collected human sperm and ova by the abductors may be the ongoing production of transgenic hybrid-hybrid entities. The following section speculates how this may take place. Repeated abductee testimony over decades supports the idea that these entities might be conceived by IVF in a petri dish, or alien equivalent, using human sperm and oocytes harvested from abductees on board either one of the aliens' craft or in a laboratory elsewhere. At the 2 or 4 cell stage of embryonic development, genetic manipulation may be carried out, inserting 1 or more non-human synthetic genes into the genome of the embryo. On successful completion of this genetic manipulation, the modified embryo might be temporarily implanted in the uterus of a human female abductee, to be removed some weeks later. Multiple reports from female abductees over decades suggest that this procedure is carried out at or near the completion of the first trimester of the pregnancy. The fetus would then be brought to term either in a second host or, more likely, in a container filled with nutrient fluid, as reported consistently by abductees, thus stimulating the natural environment of the human uterus. After birth, removal from the nutrient tank environment, the child grows up in alien society and absorbs their customs, values, and societal goals. At school, they would be primed and prepared or indoctrinated for their tasks on Earth, whatever they might be. At a certain point in time, usually young adulthood, they are sent to Earth to work on and complete their specified task. In this context, they must establish social and perhaps also sexual relationships with humans to learn about human societies and become an integral part of them. Multiple reports from abductees over decades suggest this is what might indeed take place. Of course, we do not know any of this for sure. Only if, one day, biological material from the non-human species or from these transgenic creatures becomes available, is then subjected to laboratory examination, will our level of knowledge about these transgenic creatures and their biology improve. Great efforts are therefore required to acquire such non-human biological materials and examine them with the most care and attention. In the meantime, efforts must be made to scientifically identify and expand the theoretical biological foundation for understanding the biology of these beings and their creators. What we have presented here is intended to be a step in this process. In this episode, I was reading from Steve Aspin and Andreas Luck's book, Investigating the Impossible, Biology Offers New Answers and Insights. And my book, titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, is on Amazon, and you can get it on audiobook, paperback, or Kindle. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.